All right, go back with me, please, to Revelation chapter 3. For two Sundays, I want to minister to you on something that's really strong in my heart. During the Open Heavens weekend, the Lord had led us to devote Saturday. Saturday night was a night of praise. And what an anointing for praise that we all experienced that day. What a glory. What a glory. I repeatedly, several times, wanted to get into the message that the Lord had given me that night and just couldn't get it going. But I want to be able to work that in, and because there are some very cogent things that are in that message as a part of the entire thing that the Lord ministered to us during the Open Heavens weekend, that I want to press forward and share with us today. Amen?
Amen.
So in Revelation chapter 3, in verse 7, you remember that the Lord sent messages to how many churches again altogether in Revelation 3?
Seven.
Well, the early book of Revelation, seven churches. And the last two churches were very interesting messages. The church in Philadelphia and the church in Laodicea. And he said things that were almost opposite to those two churches. In verse 7, he says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David, he that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. He says, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it. For you had a little strength. You kept my word. You have not denied my name. He says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. He said, because you have kept my word, the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation that is coming upon the world. Notice, he said, because you kept my word, you kept the word of my patience. He said that almost twice, really. In the first part of it, he says, you held on to my word. You had very little strength, but you kept my word. And the second time, he said, you kept the word of my patience. And that essentially is talking about persevering. When you persevere in God, there are four categories of blessings that the Lord promised the church in Philadelphia. Number one, he said, I will open doors to you that no man can shut. Amen. Number two, he said, I will give you the upper hand over your adversaries. Number three, he said, I will declare and I will make manifest my love for you. And number four, he said, I will keep you and I will preserve you through the season of testing that is coming. Hallelujah. Amen. I said hallelujah.
Amen.
There is something extremely powerful about persevering. What does it mean to persevere? To persevere is to keep on pushing, even when you feel like you've been pushed beyond your limits, to keep on pushing with a heart of thanksgiving and praise. Amen. To keep on pushing with a heart of thanksgiving and praise, when especially feel like you've been pushed beyond your limits. Well, there is a special blessing and a special place for believers that persevere. Perseverance is one of the things the Lord has called us to do as we walk through our journeys. It's not going to be an easy ride, not because the Lord didn't make the provisions that are needed to help us attain victory and to help us enjoy victory in life. But we have an adversary. And our adversary never rests. Our adversary never quits. So it's important that we never quit. It's absolutely important that we don't give up. Hallelujah. That we continue to persevere. And as you persevere, the Lord said, I will bless you. I'll open doors to you. Matter of fact, please let me put up there before I move away from here. Put up for me Psalm 66, verse 10. The Lord said, if you would allow me to take you through it, I will bring you through it, but I would bring you to a place where you've never been before. Your perseverance is your ticket to the next season and the next level that God has ordained for you. Keep in mind, though, perseverance is incumbent on our having a heart of praise and thanksgiving. You are not persevering when you are going through difficulty and you are complaining. Hallelujah. You are not persevering when you are going through trials or when you are being attacked and you don't have a right attitude about it. That is not perseverance. He says, for thou, O God, in Psalm 66, I love the message actually, but let's read the King James first. For thou, O God, hast proved us, you've tried us as silver is tried. Verse 11. You brought us into the net, you laid affliction on our loins. Verse 12. You caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But you brought us out into a wealthy place. See, when it seemed like men were allowed to ride over our heads, it seemed like we actually had the disadvantage. It seemed like we were at the mercy of everyone and everything. And if you're not careful, sometimes the way life is presented to all of us, sometimes you can look while you're walking through the wilderness and you can wonder where God really is. Sometimes it feels like he's not there. Sometimes it feels like you are abandoned. And that's why it's absolutely important that we persevere and we walk through it with a heart of faith, a heart of praise and thanksgiving. He said, you brought us out. You brought us out into a wealthy place. I like to say it this way. I like to say he brought us out into a better place. He's bringing us out into a place where we've never been before. Yeah. Hallelujah. And yet, what qualifies us for that promotion is that we have the right attitude while walking through it. Now, so on Saturday during Open Heavens weekend, it was a night of praise. And the Lord had me put a message together, which I titled, I'm Not Done Yet. But it's really focused on praise, the place of praise when we walk through. The place of praise when we're dealing with it. The place of praise in launching the breakthroughs that God has promised us. So I'm gonna try to talk about that a little bit. Forgive me if I don't holler at you. You know, I know a lot of times praise for many believers is what we do when we come to church. But that's not what praise is. I thank God really for that Saturday night of Open Heavens because that's praise God. There was a spirit of praise. There's an anointing for praise. But praise isn't what we do when we all come together as believers. No, I'm talking about the spirit of praise. I'm talking about the heart of praise. Because how many of you know when you walk through that wilderness, you don't hear that organ sounding? Usually you don't hear the voice of the preacher. Except maybe in your heart or in your spirit or in your head. Usually, when we all walk through our wilderness, when we walk through those difficult patches of life and seasons of life that we go through, sometimes it can feel like a very lonely road. But the spirit of praise enables you to rise above all of the trials and all of the testings that you see around you and enables you to continue to utter voices and words and assurances of confidence and faith in the promises of God concerning your future. Yes. Hallelujah, I love it. Amen. I love it. Your praise will determine your next season. Yes. So we'll talk about it a little bit. But let me get back to that machine just right here. And you know, we haven't talked about this in a couple of weeks. Let me get back to that machine and address one or two very powerful things. And some of this is actually quite personal to me. But I don't want us to just hear some. Some of these things are so deeply important. From my personal experience, I believe that there are reasons why a lot of times believers are not able to enter into the possibilities that God has promised us. I believe many times the possibilities that the Lord has prepared for us are actually there, but sometimes we're paralyzed in our faith. Go back there to Hebrews 11:6. Excuse me. Genesis. Hebrews 11:6. That sounds good. Actually, that sounds very good. I wasn't going to go there. But look at Genesis 11:6. I love Hebrews 11:6. What's in Hebrews 11:6 now? Without faith, it's impossible to please God. That's the Holy Spirit right there. I didn't plan that one. And I'm going to Genesis 11:6. Look at that in the Amplified. What does it say? It says, "And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they have all one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do, and now nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them." This is only the beginning of what they will do. And now, nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. Nothing they have imagined they can do will be impossible for them. So I want to go back to the bolt and nuts of our belief system and talk about that a little bit. I just don't want to preach this at you. I want us to really attack this and talk about it real in plain language here. When you were created as a human being, God created you with a belief system. Every human being has a belief system. Every human being believes something. Even people who say, "No, I don't believe in God." Yeah, they do believe something. God created each and every one of us with a belief system. Now, because of sin, the failure of man, and the failure of the covenant, and man's place in all of that, our belief system was shut down until we accepted Christ into our lives. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, it says, "For with the heart man believes," right, "unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Our belief system is actually incumbent in our heart, is resident in our heart. Our belief system operates through our hearts and our minds. Faith always begins from the heart, but is always executed through the mind. We do not imagine necessarily with our hearts, we imagine with our minds. But our belief system works from the heart through the mind to bring to pass the possibilities that God has ordained for our future. Every good thing that God has ordained for your future and for mine is incumbent on us having an operative belief system that is alive and well. The reason most believers are not able to walk in the possibilities that the Lord has for them, that the Lord has ordained for them, is because the enemy has attacked our belief system. It's pretty much like a computer. You know what happens many times? If you have a good, healthy computer, and then suddenly viruses get in there, and then your computer crashes. You know what happens when your computer crashes? All the information is still there. The hard drive is still there. All the potential, all the capability is still there, but you can't access it. So we say it's crashed. And what the enemy has done to the belief system of most believers that you and I know, including us, is he has introduced so many viruses into our belief system to cause a corruption within our belief system so that the potentials that God actually wired our lives with are just a dream and are hardly ever fulfilled. So my desire as we go through, and like I told you during Open Heavens weekend, it's not a fly-by-night message. You know how I do it. I'm going to stay on it, and I'm going to stay on it and stay on it and stay on it. Several years ago, Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, the late Kenneth E. Hagin, and he used to say that, and for a long time, I did not understand it. I said to you earlier, this was personal. For a long time, I did not really fully understand it. But the Lord was gracious on my journey. As I continued to walk, a lot of those things became simplified for me. The Lord helped me see why at certain seasons in my life, my faith, my belief system, my ability to walk in the supernatural, my ability to engage the possibilities of God in my life were hampered. The Lord helped me see that. The Lord showed me, he helped me, he was gracious to me. He walked through that journey with me. Thank God he was patient with me. And so many believers are trapped where I used to be trapped. We know the word. We speak the word. We say we believe the word. We preach it. We sing it. We shout it. We write about it. We put it on social media and we tell our friends about it. But for some reason or the other, we are alienated from living the life of the divine. For some reason or the other, we are not able to elicit the supernatural power of God in our lives and in our situations. He said, nothing they have imagined will be impossible unto them. And let's go with the Holy Spirit, since he also gave us parallels side by side, Hebrews 11:6. I was going to Genesis 11:6, but he's just told us now. Just put a parallel with Hebrews 11:6. So your imagination is directly connected with your faith. Your imagination is directly connected to your faith. Hallelujah. Your ability to imagine the great things of God is directly connected with your ability to walk in faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, for without faith it is impossible to please God. They that come to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently. Well, your ability to walk in faith, your ability to please God by your walk of faith is directly related and directly connected with your ability to imagine what God is able to do and willing to do in your future. There is that engine that runs and produces within each of our lives. That engine is what I'm calling your belief system. And your belief system is under attack. It has been under attack for decades, if you are old enough. It's been under attack for years and years. Every negative experience and every disappointment and every bad report and all of those things are an attack and an assault on your belief system to finally get you to a place where it's difficult for your belief system to walk. You remember the story of the man in Mark chapter 9. You remember that man who brought his son to Jesus? You remember? was dealing with a life-defining situation regarding his son. And he brought his son to the disciples of Jesus while Jesus was out on the mountain with the three guys. And they couldn't really help him until Jesus came down, you remember? And when Jesus came down, he saw this commotion. He asked them, what's this all about? And this man came crying and he said, you know, I brought my son to your disciples and they couldn't help him. And let's read this from, I'm not going to dwell on this too much because of time, but let me read this. All of these are pertinent to our being able to clearly, fully grasp what the Word of God is teaching us here. This is very important. And in verse, what verse is this? Verse 20, is it? They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straight away the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground, and he wallowed foaming. That's his son. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And the father said, since he was a little child. I told you during Open Heavens weekend, most believers are small picture people. They are small. The devil is a big game, big picture person. Every little thing he does in your life, every little thing he introduces into your life is not just for the moment. The experiences you and I have that we continue to have time and time again are not just for the moment. The enemy has his eyes set on your future. What happened to this child was not just supposed to be for the moment when he was a child, the seasons in his life when he was a child. The devil had his eyes set on the future of this boy, on his manhood. He's working a plan. Hallelujah. He said, how long is it ago since this came to him? He said, the father said, since he was a child. And the father said, oftentimes it has cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. He said, but if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Oh, Jesus said, no, man, it's not me. Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, all things, somebody say all things. Come on, say all things are possible to him. If God said all things, then what is left? If Jesus said all things are possible, then what is left after all things? Nothing. Thank you. Nothing. I like the way the Amplified puts that verse right there. Jesus said, if you can do anything, me? No, why? All things can be and are possible to him who believes. There are possibilities ahead of you. There are realms of possibilities that God has for every believer. There are realms of possibilities. Wherever you are today, there is a next season ahead of you. There is a next level ahead of you. There is a next place ahead of you. There are things you haven't yet entered into that God has prepared that you are able to enter into if you can just take that next step in your possibilities. He said, to them that believe, all things. All things. Well, guess what? When he said that to the man, the father of the child did what? He cried. He started crying. And he said, Lord, I believe, help thou my... let's not dwell on this because we went through this Open Heavens weekend and I might come back to it later on in the future when I minister this. But keep in mind, all of those attacks, every single time that attack happened, every single time from the moment Jesus called the father to bring the boy to the moment when he started trying to minister to the boy, to the moment when he had actually ministered to the boy and the boy was on the ground, was like falling flat and seemed dead, all of those things were strategically planned by the enemy to attack their belief system. The father said, I believe, help thou. And I asked you during Open Heavens weekend, how can you believe and unbelieve at the same time? That's a paradox. How can you believe and unbelieve at the same time? Yeah, because your belief system engages your heart and your mind. And the word of God works on our hearts, but we have a responsibility to work on our minds. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah.
Amen.
In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, God, it says, for you to guard your heart with all diligence. With all diligence. That is, and I think the Amplified, I think it's in the Amplified where it says, guard it like you guard the things that are precious to you or something. Let's look for it. Proverbs 4, or if you find it up there, you can just put it up there for me. Proverbs 4:23, I think. What does the Amplified say? Something about, you know, just like you guard the things that are precious to you. I think that's something, that's what it says. 4:23, Amplified, it says, keep and guard your heart with all what?
Vigilance.
And above all that you guard. That is above, that is, guard your heart more than the most precious things in your life. Can I ask you a question? What are the most precious things in your life? Family. Your possessions, right? The things you own, right? Life. Health. Thank you. The Bible says, do you know how many things we do to guard our health, to guard our families, to guard our relationships? There's something called today now preventive health. As we talk about, before it actually shows up, before the sickness or the disease shows up, we want to create an environment within our physical beings that makes it difficult for that thing to get in there, gain access in there. I mean, we're going to do all of that. What we're doing is we're guarding our health. We're guarding our well-being. And the Bible says, above everything else that we guard, guard your heart. Guard your heart. Why is that? Because your heart is the center of your life. And it says out of there, it is out of your heart that the forces or the issues of life flow.
Yes.
Hallelujah. If you are going to succeed, you are going to succeed from your heart. That's where the forces of life flow. If you are going to be blessed, you are going to be blessed from your heart. If you are going to become anything that God has ordained for you in destiny, it's going to begin from your heart. This is so deeply powerful. Don't take it for granted. This hearing lies one of the most important secrets, deepest secrets about why most believers have paralyzed faith. Right here. I told you the Lord was gracious to me. And I think before I say that, let me show you a couple of scriptures here. I talked to you about Joseph and his brothers during Open Heavens weekend. You remember that? Does anyone remember when Joseph showed up? You remember when his brothers were out in the field and Joseph showed up and they saw him. Does anyone remember what his brother said about him? Behold, here comes, behold. Thank you. That's in Genesis 37. I think it's verse 19 it is. We can put that up for us, please. In fact, the Amplified version of that particular verse puts it very interesting. It says, they said, here comes the master of dreams. They didn't just call him. They said, here comes the master of dreams. Guess what? It was, they were not saying that. They were not saying that as a compliment. They were saying that as a mockery. They had internalized so strongly their hatred and their bitterness for their brother to the point where when he showed up, their mockery took over and everything they had to say about him was directly related to the hatred in their hearts. Say, behold, behold, here comes the dreamer. So they called him the master of dreams. It's like, hey, here comes professor. Professor of dreams. Hey, watch, Professor. Hey, watch, Professor. Herein lies one of the greatest reasons why most believers' faith is paralyzed. Let me give you a word of counsel. If where you are seeking to go in your life, if where you are hoping to go in your life, if you can get there through natural means, don't pay attention to what I'm preaching today. You don't need it. If you can work hard enough to get enough money to get to where you want to go, if you can connect with people, you are charismatic enough to connect with people, to the people who can get you there, and they can get you there naturally. Don't worry. What I'm saying is not important. If the future destiny that you are believing for, that you are expecting, if you can achieve it through natural means, forget about what I'm preaching today. It's not important. But if you believe that in order for you to arrive where you want to go, you need the finger of God to work.
Yes, 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 yes.
If you believe that you need the supernatural hands of God to walk in situations and in realms where humans cannot walk, if you believe that when you get to the end of your rope, you need God to turn things, you need God to change things, you need God to open things, you need God to break things, you need God to shut things.
Yes.
If you believe that, then what I'm saying to you today is extremely important. See, the aspect of your belief system is directly connected with the possibilities that God has ordained for your future.
Yes.
These possibilities are deeply and strongly connected to the supernatural power of God. Well, your belief system, in order for these possibilities to be possible and to be manifest, your belief system has to be effectual, alive, and active.
Amen.
Let me ask you again. I'm so conscious of time, but God help me. God, the Lord, Holy Spirit is helping me here. How many people remember when Joseph's brother saw him, when he showed up in the field? How many people remember what they said about him? Here comes the master of dreams.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a compliment. They were saying that about him out of the bitterness of their heart. They were saying that about him out of the hatred of their heart. Let me tell you something. No matter what dreams Joseph's brothers had, I don't care if they dreamed of becoming managers, I don't care if they dreamed of becoming professional business people. I don't care if they did. No matter, let's not even talk about the kind of dream Joseph had. Joseph had a dream he was going to be at the very top of the human
hierarchy.
See? This why it's good to have people who know English. Who can speak it and who can bring it up. They just don't leave me out struggling out here by myself. Thank you. Let's not even think of them. Let's not think of them dreaming of becoming prime ministers. Forget about that. That's too high and lofty. Just managers, like, you know, like Joseph became in Potiphar's house, or like he did in prison. Joseph's brothers could never have become anything beyond what they always were. Never. Do you know why? Because the virus of the devil had corrupted their belief system. Their belief system had crashed. No matter what they hoped or believed, they would never have been able to achieve it because they were totally disconnected from the power of God to bring it about. Now listen to what I said earlier. If what God has for you in your future, if that can come about by your work, you can work hard enough to get enough money to build that company. Don't worry. This message is not, you don't need it. It's not for you. Just go and walk. Keep walking. Work 10 jobs or whatever. Get as much money. Build that business because that's all you need. But if you need God, whether it's something natural, whether it's in your health, whether it's in your career, whether it's in your ministry, whether it's in your family, whether it's in your... if you need God, if you need the finger of God to do the impossible in your future. And what I'm saying to you is extremely important. So now you know what Joseph said. You know what Joseph's brother said when he showed up. Let me ask you this. Do you know what Joseph said when his brothers showed up? I want to shock you. Do you know what Joseph's brothers, what Joseph said? We've just seen what his brothers said when he showed up. Do you know what he said when his brothers showed up? I want you to read these scriptures with me. It's in Genesis 45. I read it from, just put it up for us for time's sake, from verse 5. From verse 5. Genesis 45. From verse 5. Thank you. I think the King James will be better. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. Read that with me. Look on the screen. Now, therefore, I want you to read, and as we read these four verses of scripture, I want you to count as we go along how many times the word God shows up. You and I already saw when Joseph showed up what his brothers said. Their entire discourse had no mention, not even one mention of God. We only read one verse. I mean, you can go back. Sorry, just forgive me. I'm conscious of so many things. So there's so many things going on in my mind at the same time. But I trust the Holy Spirit to give you illumination because what I'm sharing with you is extremely important. I want you to go back when you have the time. Go back and read the entire discourse. Everything they discussed from the moment they saw Joseph, from the moment they saw Joseph appear, I want you to go read that entire passage and look at everything they said. I guarantee you, you will not see one single mention of God. But I want you to see what Joseph said when his brothers showed up. I want you to count with me in these three or four verses of scripture. We're going to go to verse 8. Let's read. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 6. For these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. Verse 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8. So now, it was not you that sent me here, but God. And he has made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. How many times do you see God? Three times. In three or four verses of scripture, it's almost like Joseph couldn't wait to interject God in every sentence. It's like he couldn't wait to interject God. In fact, at a point in time, he said to them, you sold me, but God sent me. Hallelujah. You thought you sold me. You thought you were hurting me. You thought you were getting rid of me. You thought you were destroying my destiny. You thought you were attacking everything about my future. But God. But God. But God. But God. Let me say something to you. Through all of those years, through all of the assaults and through all of the attacks, through all of those difficulties that Joseph endured in his life, let me tell you what was the most important thing to him. God. When he went through difficult times, he said, but God. When he went through good times, he said, but God. When nothing was happening at all, and he was just sitting down in the prison cell waiting for something to happen, he said, but God. Everything about his life, but God. But God. But God. But God. But God. No matter how many viruses the devil tried to put in his heart, but God. He guarded that heart so jealously. He said, no, I'm not going to let you mess with my heart. You can do whatever you want to do. You say whatever you want to say. You go wherever you want to go. You talk to whoever you want to talk to. But me, I'm going to guard my heart. You know what? Because I know out of my heart is going to come the issues of life. The dream that I had as a 17-year-old boy is going to flow out of this heart. If I let your viruses corrupt my heart, I'm going to end up just like you. I'm going to end up a slave in a foreign country. But you know what? I have a dream. I have seen myself ruling. What was that word again? Hierarchy? I've seen myself at the highest hierarchy of human experience. Therefore, I'm going to guard my heart. The Bible says guard your heart because out of it are the issues of life. You know the difference between Joseph and his brothers? Joseph's brothers internalized hurt and bitterness, and their belief system became paralyzed, crippled, and ineffective. But Joseph protected his heart. I walked you through those scriptures because I want to show you a principle of life right here. Because of the effectual and the strong and powerful belief system that Joseph had, listen to these words. Joseph saw God in everything.
Amen.
I want those words to reverberate in your spirit. Because of the active, effectual, strong belief system that Joseph had, Joseph saw God in everything. When Joseph got a bad report, he saw God in the bad report. When Joseph received bad news, he saw God in the bad news. Let me explain that to you before somebody takes what I'm saying out of context, because only God knows who hears these messages. When you see God in everything, Romans 8:28 becomes the motto by which you live your life. We know that all things have to work together for good. All things have to work together for good. Even this negative report, all things have to work together for good. Joseph saw God in everything. He saw the mistreatment and he saw God. He saw the lie and he saw God. He saw when they forgot him and he saw God. He saw the negative report and he saw God. He also saw the good and saw God. He also saw nothing happening. You know, sometimes when you don't get a report, it's like, sometimes that's the worst place to be. Like, it's like you're just hanging in the balance. It's like, Man, just tell me if it's good or if it's bad, just so I know what to do. But sometimes you just don't even know. They just kind of keep you hanging. It's like you are in this limbo. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going to happen. You are just hanging out there. It's like, God. But even when Joseph was hanging in the balance, my friends, he saw God. Joseph kept thinking, even in the prison, when he was hanging in the balance, for 2 straight years, he saw God. He saw God. He saw God. Oh. God was gracious to me. Let me try to close. God was gracious to me. This is one of the strongest lessons, one of the strongest things that the Lord has done in my life. I know that since I started my Christian journey. When I was a young pastor, a young minister, I dealt with so much jealousy, so much envy, so much bitterness. I remember I used to say to God, God, you're blessing the wrong people here. Seriously. I remember I used to pray that. God, you're blessing the wrong people here. I mean, God, and I'll go over this stupid. I'm even embarrassed to talk about it. I say, God, and I remember I did that. I gave my life and I did this and that. And what did that person? And I tell you, God, and especially as a pastor, I saw God blessing pastors. I saw God, you know, I saw God doing. And I never could celebrate. I never could rejoice over it. I'd try to put on a face like, yeah, I'm happy for you. Glory, glory. You know, I didn't like, you know, that lingo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't the Lord awesome, sister? Ooh, glory. Glory to God. But I have so much bitterness in my heart. I have so much jealousy and envy and anger. Antagonism and unforgiveness. One day the Lord said to me, and I was going on about, you know what I did when I was this, I was 17 and I did that, and God said to me, shh, 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 shh. He said, you would be embarrassed if I let you know what many people all over the world that you would never hear about, what they have done for my name, you would be embarrassed if you found out. Suppose I was like Jonah. And what I didn't realize was I destroyed my belief system. My faith wasn't working. There were things that God, I had the word, I had all the lingo, I had the scriptures, I sat at the feet of some of the best ministers. I told you earlier on, Kenneth E. Hagin used to say that for a long time, and I tell you, it took many years before I came into an understanding of it. He used to say back then, if my faith is not working, the first area where I look will be the area of my heart. That's what he used to say. He said, I'll check forgiveness. I'll check love, my love walk. That's what he used to say. It took a long time, but the Lord was gracious to me. He was patient with me. And slowly, and surely, the Lord cleaned me of all of that negativity. And you know, when you're dealing with bitterness, jealousy, envy, unforgiveness, anger, all of that, those are the big brothers. Then they have small sisters coming behind them. You can imagine what those small sisters are. Because once the door is opened by the big rat, all the small rats come in and wreak havoc. But the Lord was gracious and merciful to me. And he helped me to see. And he cleansed me and he made me whole. And I became like Joseph. I could see beyond the temporary. I could see beyond the human. Oh, I missed that. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I told you, Joseph saw God in everything. Do you remember I said that to you? What about his brothers? What did his brothers see? His brothers saw people in everything. Let your elevator go to the top. Can you figure that out? Can you decode that? Joseph saw God in everything. His brothers saw people in everything. Go back to the scripture. When Joseph showed up, what did his brothers say? Here comes the dreamer. They saw people in everything. When they went to Egypt and got back home to their father, go read their report. They saw Pharaoh, they saw Pharaoh's servants, they saw the cupbearer, they saw everything, they saw people. And then they saw themselves. After a while, they started fighting themselves. They said, it was you. You see, because, you know, because Joseph asked that they put one of the, you remember this story, right? Hid one of the cups, right, in Benjamin's sack. Do you remember this story? And then finally, when they trapped them in the middle of the road, he said, one of you has the cup. He said, no, we didn't touch. No, none of us touched the cup. He said, well, let's start searching. They saw that, bam, they saw the cup in bed. He said, no, I'm keeping Benjamin. They start fighting themselves. See, it's you now. It's you, Reuben. Simeon, it's you, Simeon. Judah, no, it's you, Judah. They saw people. When your belief system is broken down and ineffective, you see people in everything. You see people as responsible for whether you go up or down. You see what people have done and you believe that's responsible for where you are. You see people and you believe they are empowered to determine your future. You see people in everything. But when your belief system is strong, my friends, you see God in everything. It's a good place to stop. 1:02, they put that clock there. God bless them. I don't feel like stopping. I have too much to say. I haven't even gotten to my message on praise yet. I'm not done yet. I mean, not for this message, but that's the title of that message on praise. The title of the message on praise, I'm not done yet. I'm done for this message this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. I just want the world to know I'm not done yet. My back may be bleeding, but I'm not done yet. I may be trapped in the prison, but I'm not done yet. I just want the world to know. I just got a bad report, but I'm not done yet. Like Habakkuk, he said, even though I see nothing on the figs, though I see nothing in the stalls, though I see nothing anywhere, he said, but yet I will rejoice. You know why I'm rejoicing? Because I'm not done yet. Hallelujah. I'm just getting started. What about you? Say, I'm just getting started. Say, I'm not done yet. Come on, say, I'm not done yet. Help me, musicians. Let's go to communion. I want you, as I wrap this up and we'll go to communion. Stand to your feet, please. There's something I want you to get out of this service today. I want you to guard your heart. Thank you. Is that from Minister Sharon? Yes. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know what? You're a blessing. You're a blessing. Every minute until I got on this pulpit, I kept saying to myself, between the message and communion, I have one official duty. You know, during Open Heavens weekend, I was supposed to do this. I got it mixed up because I misunderstood her message. I was supposed to officially appoint her a deaconess. I went ahead and did Deacon Kermit, but I left her out because I misunderstood her communication. And since then, we had fixed that we were going to do it today. I've put it down, documented, I put it everywhere. And before I walked up on the pulpit in the lounge, I said, remember, between the message and communion, you are doing official Deaconess Sharon. And sure enough, I finished preaching. I did not remember. So thank you, Deaconess Sharon. Just before we serve communion, please come. Can you just, I want to do this real quickly. There's not much of a formality to it other than what you already saw us do during the Open Heavens weekend. Amen. That Minister Sharon has served as a minister in the ministry in Abundant Life for many years and gone through the school. He's a licensed minister. He's waiting on her ordination eventually as a pulpit minister. And one of the parts that we had set up at the time was that she would serve, be appointed and serve as a deaconess first. I know that the calling on your life, you know, you believe, is that the Lord is going to send you into the field. You're going to be ordained as a pulpit minister, and you are going to use your gifts to bless the world and bless the church. But as a step before that, today I am officially appointing her and presenting her to you publicly as Deaconess Sharon Mann. Thank you for the reminder. Let's thank God for Deaconess Sharon. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. She saved me today. She saved me. The Lord is my witness. You know, that's why, this is also part of why sometimes we need to learn to give people, what's that expression? Benefit of doubt? Is that what that word is? We need to learn to give people the benefit of the doubt. Sometimes you just don't know everything. Sometimes we assume something is some way and we make up our minds about it and we think, but you don't know. You just don't know. And so this message today is a life changer. It changed my life. I don't know if those guys, Javonte, did you stop recording the message already? You probably didn't know. You are still on. Put this part of it on. Put this part of it on. Thank you. My belief system has never been as strong as it is today.
Amen.
God is my witness.
Amen.
My belief system. So what I said to them in the Akron church is this. When the Lord, if I imagine it, I see it, I know it's the will of God, as long as there is no other believer that is dependent on. So now I'm very careful with that. Sometimes there are other believers and I need them to stand in agreement or whatever. Usually when that happens, I take more time to do some work. But when there is no other believer it involves, when it's me, maybe something the Lord said, some breakthrough, some miracle, some, I imagine it, I see it, the will of God, I see the word of God, I crank up my belief system, I walk that system, and bam, it happens. Miracle after miracle, amen, after miracle, after miracle. Amen. The wisdom of God, the flow, sometimes it's scary because sometimes, and I know this sounds spooky, you've heard people say, oh, I heard the voice of God. I tell you, most people who say they hear the voice of God, they don't hear the voice of God. They're just talking religion. Because a lot of them don't even go through the process to hear the voice of God. Most of the time, what do you know? I've learned about myself a lot of times. Somebody called me this past week from a different state, a bishop, and he said something to me. And immediately, my mind, immediately, I said, no, I'm not doing it. No, I can't do this. I said, no, forget it. I'm not interested. So we go. And I found out most of the time, my first response is wrong. Most of the time. You know, many believers, they say their response, the first thing they say, that's what God said. No, it's not true. Many times it's not. So I said, but I'm going to go and pray. And I'll talk to my wife about it as well. And, you know, I started praying. Just a couple of hours of prayer. Immediately my attitude changed about it. Well, I thought, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. So immediately, the Lord said, well, what if I want you to? And most of us are like this. Our first response is this. Remember what I said to you, I'm taking too long now. You guys have to stop preaching early now. I know you guys usually finish preaching by 12:30, right? Every Sunday, Pastor T, right? Lead pastor. 12:30, are you going to fire? I told them in Akron, they may fire me if I preach too long. Please don't fire me, please. I'm almost done. Let's do communion. But you know, I want to say this to you. If you want a supernatural life, I made that decision a long time ago. I can't raise enough money to do all the work God has called me to do. I don't have the charisma to talk to enough people to be able to get the work, the mandate of God on my life done. I can't. So I see God in everything. Yes. I guard my heart jealously. I'm very quick to rebuke. I'm very quick to repent. I never bear grudges, ever. You will never have me bear grudges with you. You will either know if I like you or if I don't. Immediately you will know. That's my belief system working. I don't have negative people in my life. People who tell me things negative, it doesn't happen. I don't have no close associations where anyone shares negative things with me. It doesn't happen. I guard my heart jealously. If I hurt you, I offend you, and you tell me right there and then, if I finish preaching this message, and you tell me tomorrow, you call me or you text me, Pastor, that message you preached was really powerful, but I think there were certain aspects of it that offended me, and you know what I'll say to you? I'll say, sorry. Immediately I'll say, I'm sorry. I say, but I'm going to preach it again next Sunday, so please don't come to church. I will repent. I will ask you for forgiveness. Immediately. I'm not even going to say, if you don't talk to me. No, I'll tell you immediately. You are not worthy of my being talked to. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm very quick to exercise discipline. My children will tell you that. I do not bear grudges. I can't. I don't have grudge in my heart. I deal with it quick. You know this thing where people say, they carry for years and years. Yeah, I just process. I don't process it. Right there and then I tell you, you are out of line. That's it. Now, you can make it right. You and I can get together. You can even say, Pastor, but you are harsh. Yeah, I say, okay, I'm sorry for being harsh. But you did wrong. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry for doing wrong. Hey, let's make up. We are the best of friends. Immediately. Tomorrow, nobody will know anything ever happened between us. That's it. I'm not in the grudges business. I have no enemies. I didn't say some people don't see me as an enemy. I say I have no enemies. There are some people who I've met on the street, and I'm trying to go to them and hug them, and they're going like that. And I still put them, you are hugging me today. You are going to hug me. I have no enemies. Now, after that, I'm going to go my way. You are going to go your way. I lose nothing. But right now, I just want you to know, you are not my enemy. I have no time for that. Too much. There's too much dependent on the supernatural. You can't fake God. Write that. Anybody who socializes, does social media, tweet that somewhere. You cannot fake God.
Amen.
You can't fake God.
Amen.
He is either there or he's not.
Yes.
You can't fake it.
Amen.
So I don't have time. So that belief system works. Listen, if there's anything you are believing God for, if you can stay neutral, that's if you are not there where you can believe yet, but you are able to stay neutral, come and let's talk about it. Just stay neutral. Let me believe with you and operate that belief system. You will see that miracle. There's no way you will not see that miracle. So this is the one thing I want you to leave this service with today. Guard your heart. Please, guard your heart. Please, guard your heart. Do you forgive me for preaching too long today? Would you forgive me? Everybody, just be honest. Will you forgive me?
Yes.
I apologize for preaching long. I know I did wrong. It's wrong. Because I've been told I'm supposed to stop by 12:30. But here it is, 1:16, and I haven't even done communion. Do you forgive me for preaching too long today?
Yes, we do.
When I come back next week, will you still allow me to preach long like this?
He said,
I think so. All right, let's pray over our communion. Father God, we thank you so much that we can enjoy your presence and we can be real in fellowship with one another. I thank you, Father God, because you love us so much. There's so much you have for us that you have planned. There's so much you have in our future. This communion today is a communion of life. It's a communion of open heavens. Let every one of your children that partakes of it and those that are joining us online today, let the blessings of open heavens be their portion.
Amen.
Walk in them.
Yes.
Walk through them.
Yes.
Bless them.
Amen.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Please help me, ushers, ministers. Let's serve the people, please. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. I want you to remember that Jesus Christ's body was broken for you to redeem you from death and to give you everlasting life. I want you to feed on him today. I want you to feed on him with expectation. I want you to feed on him with gratitude. I want you to feed on him with faith. And as you feed on him, expect that the power of the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ will be transfused into your own life. Let's go ahead, feed on that body together. In Jesus' name, amen. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. I want us to feed on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember that that precious blood was broken for us to redeem us from death and to give us abundant life. Go ahead and drink the blood. Be thankful in your heart and receive all that that blood carries for your life and for your future. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Let's drink the wine together. Take a moment to be thankful. Take a moment to be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Be thankful. Hallelujah. Come on, just raise your hands and wave it to the Lord and just bless his name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you so much, Lord. We honor you and we love you and we exalt you. We exalt you. We exalt you. Thank you. I call you blessed, you and your families, in the name of Jesus. I declare that this season will produce fruit for you in the name of Jesus. The dew of heaven will rest upon you and your families. I declare that everything you put your hands upon will prosper in the name of Jesus. You have seen the end of failure in your life forever, perpetually, in the name of Jesus. I see you walking in the realm of possibilities. I see you mounting up with wings as eagles. I see you walking in your high places according to the word of God. Give you praise, Father. Let's share the grace together in fellowship. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. Amen. And surely, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. And God bless you. We love you. Have a great week.